Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King, locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We are coming at you during game one of the NBA Finals. It's halftime, so Jay and I decided to record a show. I am John Corrales. He is Jay, Steph Curry King. We are the Rain and Jays. And for those of you who do not know what that reference was, just go to Twitter and go to the Boston Celtics timeline on Twitter. And if you scroll down, not that far, you'll see the first highlight from today's Celtics media game is Jay King pulling up from 35 feet off of a jump ball, one of the most ballsy shots I've ever seen in any game ever. Jump ball out to Jay, two steps in, 35 feet away, and nothing but net. Splash. So take us through your thought process here, Jay.
I mean, when you're open, man. Yeah, so that's always been my thing. Like, when on tip-offs, I like to shoot because the defense isn't ready for someone to shoot right away. And I'm a shooter. If I'm open, I'm going to let it fly. The best part of that clip, which I watched later like 75 times, just enjoyed it, was Leon Poe shouting, set up some offense. And then I just fired straight in my coach's face.
That was the
offense. And it went in, you know?
That was the offense.
Yeah, that was the offense. You're not going to get a better shot than that, guys.
Oh, man. I will say, it's pretty damn cool to be, you know, I know you work and you cover the Celtics and all that stuff. I mean, you're still a Masters kid, a Celtics fan. The Celtics Twitter account tweeted out a highlight of you burying an NBA length three. That's got to be pretty damn cool.
Yeah, it's not often that a highlight of me playing basketball, it's Twitter.
Goes out to millions of Celtics Twitter followers.
Yeah, so I came. I didn't notice it during the game, obviously, and I came back to like 45 mentions, 50 mentions on Twitter, and I was like, oh, I wonder what happened. Like, I hope I didn't miss anything. And it was just me pulling up from deep. The rest of the game didn't go that well, by the way.
Like, see, you didn't have to say that. All we had to know was that you just stepped up right away and curried the first shot of the game.
No, I knocked down shots. I was a disgruntled player though, and we won on a wild buzzer beater, and still I was disgruntled. I'm not the greatest teammate sometimes.
But before we continue here, because this is much more interesting than anything else we're going to talk about, I just want to say that this discussion, this Jay King post-game interview, because now the tables are turned on you, It's brought to you by Boston Paintball, and if you stick around, we'll give you a deal for Boston Paintball. Definitely go check them out. So, Jay, what does that mean when you say you were disgruntled? I mean, you won the game. You hit a few shots. What was the disgruntledness?
So I'm a psycho. Like I'm normally a very measured, rational person. When I step in between the lines, I'm a legitimate psycho. And two of my teammates, who will go unnamed, dominated the ball. And actually, the guy who hit the game-winning follow-away three from his ass. His name is JD something. I've played in the media game with him before. I've never met him outside of that. He was kind of a gunner. And so I grew more and more disgruntled as the game went on, because I wasn't getting touches, because my team didn't move the ball. We had like a 20-point lead. We lost it all. And I was hot. Like, I was knocking down shots, but I didn't get a lot of shots. And so I was just getting mad. And then this kid, JD, I don't even know what his last name is. He works for one of the radio stations. And so we call a timeout with, like, I don't know, 7 seconds left. And he demands the ball. It's like he's fucking Jimmy Chitwood. And he had missed a ton of shots and really wasn't that great throughout the entire game. And so I was fuming. And I'm like, it's a media game. I'm not going to, like, speak up. Who cares? But in my head, I'm fuming. If you go to the Celtics Twitter account and watch the final play, you'll see me on the opposite side of the court, just, like, totally checked out, totally pissed.
So this
guy, he hits a miracle three in Sherrod Blakely's mug, and I swear to God, like, this is the worst teammate moment anyone could ever have. I'm even after he made the shot, I'm so pissed off about like the fact that he isolated for the final play, and we had like the fourth best player on our team play hero ball in the final moment while we're down one. Even after he made the shot, I couldn't get over it. I was still pissed off. It took me like several minutes and I had to fake it. I had to fake it. Like you're supposed to be excited for the guy. It's a three, right? Like, game winning fucking three, awesome three. And I had to fake it. I had to fake the celebration.
This is hilarious to me.
So that I wasn't the biggest jackass on the floor. But yeah, so this is like unfiltered Jay King that the listeners are getting right now. I was the worst teammate ever. It was my Scottie Pippen moment. Scottie Pippen, when they dialed up to play for someone else, and he's like,
Kukoc, right? It was the Kukoc play, and Scottie said, yeah, screw this.
Yeah, and so I actually went on the court, but I was, even after he made it, I was salty. I'm like the worst teammate of all time, and I've never been like that. But for some reason, it just, I don't know, the whole thing rubbed me the wrong way.
This is fantastic. I can't
change my reaction. It just was what it was, man.
I mean, it's a nice little insight into Jay King, who you are as a player, and how you cover this team. When you start talking about guys being teammates, now we know why. Oh man, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I was fuming. Fuming. Honestly, anyone, if you go watch the tape, it will be very clear that I'm on the other side, like, totally checked out.
I'm 100% checked out. Definitely going to watch that. I'm definitely going to watch that once we're done recording. So here's what we need to do.
It was a hell of a shot, though. I want to make it clear. Like, he demanded the ball.
He drilled it
away three while falling on his ass. It was an unreal shot. It really was a Jimmy Chitwood moment. Like he he demanded the rock, and then he followed through.
What can you say?
So shout out to
it works.
To JD, whatever his last name is, but
JD,
but I hated him in the moment. I just couldn't get over the process behind it, man. I was so pissed.
Here's what we need to do. Instead of a media basketball game, next time we need to do a media paintball game. Have you and him on opposite sides and just watch you go nuts, just trying to take him out, just pelting him with paintball after paintball after paintball. So, and that's why we need to get in touch with Boston Paintball. If that sounds like a good idea to you guys, get in touch with Boston Paintball. I think a media paintball game would be awesome. That would be great. And it's great for other events with groups of people, you and your buddies, you and your family, you and your bachelor party, you and your bachelorette party. Why not? You and the kids. It could be anybody. You go out there. It's not just crazy J. King types that are going and losing their minds out there. It's fun for the whole family. Boston Paintball promises that you will, in fact, be loved by everyone for this idea. There's three different versions of paintball that you can choose from. Kids as young as 8 years old are playing. So they've got the Splashmaster for the 8-year-plus crowd. They've got the low-impact classic paintball for players who are 10 and over. And then there's the adult, the private groups that you can go. There's three locations in Massachusetts. They have a different experience. So go to Chelsea for the indoor and night play. Go to Maynard for outdoor competition and woods ball fields. And then go to Ashland for the super awesome 23-building real-life apocalyptic cityscape that you can check out and shoot people. And apparently, I don't know, maybe people can pretend to be zombies. I don't know how it works, but do it and tell me how it works. They've got an airplane. They got a hospital. They got an army deuce. Go check it out. Boston Paintball got its start over on Causeway Street by the old Boston Garden back in 1992. That's when I first checked them out as a senior at Emerson College. And they've been there ever since. They've expanded, obviously. It's been good times for over a million players. They are the leaders in the industry. Go to paintball.com to make your reservation online. You use the coupon code GREEN when booking, and you get $50 off a group package. That's bostonpaintball.com. Book your reservation online. Use the coupon code GREEN, and you get $50 off a group package, and you'll get to do video tours of each facility to help you out wherever you help you figure out wherever you want to play. So, all right, let's actually talk about the Celtics as opposed to media guy. The rest of the Celtics. I did see one girl there that was just torching. I don't know where she works, but she was just torching people.
I had issues with her ball domination as well. she's really good though.
She looked like she was really good.
I don't know where she played in college. She played D1 in college. She's really good.
I want to say that she was at Northeastern, but okay. Nonetheless, nobody got hurt in this game, right? That's the big thing. No one got hurt, which is important.
I played two games today and didn't get hurt, which is
that's
unbelievable.
That's amazing. Which is more than the Celtics could say in their playoff run. And that's in day three in the Adam Himmelsbach trifecta in the Brain and Jay's podcast here in the Globe. He was talking to the Celtics, and it's been kind of revealed. Like every July or June, we hear about either a guy going in for surgery for something we didn't realize was going on. There are guys getting banged up here and there. And we realized that Marcus Smart was playing with back spasms. So, and we saw him limping around. And Al Horford's elbow injury that cost them a couple of games during the regular season was something that kind of hung around. And aside from Avery Bradley with a hip pointer, Jaylen Brown with hip pointer, Isaiah Thomas with the torn labrum in his hip. So just this revelation that guys all over the place were beyond banged up, and by the end it's no wonder, and I don't think they make this as an excuse, but it's just no wonder that they kind of basically gave everything they have, and by the time they ran into the Cavs, they just didn't have another gear to reach to take on the Cavaliers.
And I think every team's like that. Like, the deeper you get into the playoffs, and obviously with the exception of the Cavs and the Warriors this year, who were so good that they gave themselves, like, weeks of rest in the playoffs, by the time you get through that grind, like, you've just beaten yourself up. And, I mean, Horford was outrageously effective in the playoffs, despite the elbow, and Smart was up and down, but sometimes really good, despite the back. And obviously Isaiah Thomas had a great postseason before he had to bow out because of the hip. Avery Bradley, like, that was unreal. He had two hit pointers. Who gets two hit pointers on both sides in the same playoffs, like two games apart? So I don't think it was like there was, even if they were fully healthy, even if they had everybody, the Cavaliers were going to run them out of the gym. So no excuses. It's just kind of what happens in the playoffs. And the better teams, the great teams, give themselves the ability to rest up like the Cavs and Warriors did. And I think that's been, like, low-key a big part of being an established dominant power, is that you can rest guys throughout the regular season. Like the Cavs, they can shut down LeBron James for the last week and do that, and then they can get weeks of rest during the playoffs because they sweep guys. Like, that is a huge advantage compared to all the teams who have to go through the grind and have to try to earn their seed by playing all their best players all the time. So that has kind of become a big advantage for the better teams. It's almost more of an advantage because they can rest and afford themselves that opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, that's while the Celtics and the Wizards are going to, you know, try and knock each other's faces off, and really that series, the Celtics-Wizards series, is going to end up being, well, first, it's going to be two things. It's going to end up being forgotten because no one remembers the second round of the playoffs, but it's going to end up being the best series of this playoffs. A seven-game grind where each team threw big haymakers and landed big haymakers, and you had a dominant performance from Isaiah Thomas, and you had a buzzer beater from John Wall. And that ultimately, when you look at each individual series, that has the potential to go down as the best of the series. I mean, as we're recording right now, the Golden State Warriors have taken a 13-point lead on the Cavs. Kevin Durant is playing out of his damn mind. And so, yeah, but those teams have that ability to rest and to just, especially with the way the schedule is now, they had to wait a week to start these finals. So a player like Andre Iguodala, who was banged up, all the talk going into the series was, is he going to be healthy enough? Well, the dude got a week off, and now he looks great. So that stuff is very advantageous to the best teams, and teams like the Celtics have to go play seven-game series and beat the shit out of one another and get teeth knocked out and hips torn in the process.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice to be loaded. It is really nice to be loaded.
It really is nice to be loaded. All right. I guess that's a fine place to end. I was going to talk about people are also writing about Danny Ainge liking things on Twitter, which
that was the dumbest thing I saw today.
I mean, this is where we are. We are already firmly in the season of following what people like on Twitter, which I've never gotten into, and trying to see what dumb shit Terry Rozier is doing on his Snapchat. Like, that's, we're already in that stage of the off season.
Yeah. The funny part about it was, like, he has liked things about Markelle Fultz. He has liked things about Lonzo Ball. Like, it didn't indicate anything. And I'm pretty sure he was just, like, liking them as bookmarks. Like, I do that. I'll like something. I'll like a tweet that has a link in it as a bookmark and to go back and read it later. And I think he just wants to learn more about the draft and read up on all the draft experts' analysis and just have that extra input.
Yeah,
so
that's really probably all it is, but people will read into it. Oh, Markelle Fultz liked this tweet.
He might draft Fultz and Ball. his Twitter likes told me he will.
That's it. just go and troll people's Twitter. Like, I don't know. I've never – people will do that. I don't – I've never gotten into that. I guess maybe I'm too old to – I have no idea. But that's how people are using Twitter. All right. That's it. That's fine. Back to watching the finals. And thanking people for listening. Thanking people for subscribing. Please, if you have not subscribed, do that. Wherever you find your podcast, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, the TuneIn app, everywhere, we're there. If you are a subscriber and you have not rated us 5 stars, please do that. We would very much appreciate that. It helps us out. It's your way of paying us. It's a small price, and all it takes is a couple of minutes and zero money out of your pocket. Leave us a review. Let people know that we are the best podcast around, and maybe they'll start listening, and we'll grow our base. So that's it. That's the show.
I've got one last one last call to the people. Please don't judge me for being the worst teammate of all time. Like, I realize I sound like a lunatic, total lunatic, but. When I was actually on real teams, greatest teammate anyone's ever met. So shout out to me, man. Shout out to me. And please don't judge me. It was I'm just trying to be honest with you. I'm trying to give you the whole feel of the day. And I realize I sound like a lunatic.
I'm judging you very hard. But that's okay. I've been judging you very hard for a long time.
Yeah.
Don't you know judge what? Jake. He's really a good guy.
Yeah, I would like to think so. But today I realized I was a total lunatic.
Nothing wrong with being a lunatic on the court sometimes, especially when unnamed people from AM radio steal your thunder and hit.
It wasn't even about stealing my thunder. Like, just pass the ball every once in a goddamn while.
No, I will say that was a hell of a shot. If you're running up and down the floor and nobody's passing you the ball, then that takes all the fun out of a game. You know, if somebody's trying to go out there and taking it too seriously, then it does take the fun out of the game. That said, I am totally crashing that game next year and taking it way too seriously. So,
and I had to guard Jermaine Wiggins, and he's a big mother bleeping dude, man.
Is that who you were banging with in the post?
Yeah, Jermaine was a beast. All I had, like, I couldn't even help off him. It was like the Tristan Thompson defense. Like, I couldn't help off him. I just had to try to box him out.
Ugh, God. It's a former NBA, NFL tight end, and you got to guard him in the post.
Yeah, and I was a point guard in my past life, man. I was a guard. I was a little guard. Now I'm guarding Jermaine Wiggins.
See, that...
And getting fuming mad about the guy who hits a game winner on my team.
It's you've got positional versatility and you're passionate. You're just passionate. Yeah.
If we're gonna look optimistic, I think my draft stock was boosted today.
Yeah, well, you know, your post game media work needs help. That's for sure.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
All right, guys, thanks for listening, everybody. Yeah.